Amen. Thank the Lord this Easter time that we talk about the resurrection of the Lord. Praise God. I've read somewhere about archaeologists that were digging in Thessalonica. That's where 1st, 2nd Thessalonians Paul wrote to. And they found a graveyard there about 2,000 years old. And on the headstones, it just simply said, no hope, no hope, one after the other. And that's why Paul said, we sorrow not as those who have no hope. I did, well, we have hope, not just maybe hope. We got a steadfast for sure hope. Not only the life that's after this, how many have hope this morning? Amen. You have a hope that's eternal, everlasting. Amen. You go from faith and hope. You have all of these. Praise God. We're not as those that have no hope. You know, the world's, they just keep asking, what are we doing? The world's falling apart. But I tell you what, it's not falling apart. It's falling in place. Amen. I'm kind of different. I'm excited what's going on. Amen. I tell you what, just seeing these happening and things happening, and we get to be part of it. It's, praise God, our part that God allows us to be, and I am so thankful for it. Thankful for the church. We had a great Sunday school this morning. We've enjoyed these days here with you at the church, and just believe God. I tell you what, Jesus is coming. But until he gets here, he said to occupy till I come. And he said, I want to be in the vineyard. He said, the harvest is ready, and we just got to go harvest. You talk to people, you say they wouldn't listen. Somebody will listen. I just keep trying to find that one that will, and just talk to them about the things of God. My wife Susan and I, we have been married 2 years. We both had lost our former spouses. My wife died from cancer, and it's been almost 4 years, and so Susan and I got married 2 years ago, and her husband had dementia for 10 years. And so we were just, what to do? We met, and we decided just to, Lord, put us together and to keep going. Amen. Brother said this morning, you don't want to rust out. Amen. Burn out. Amen. And I'd rather burn out than rust out. That's for sure. And so as the Lord gives us strength, everybody in the Sunday school ain't had a hurting knee or hurting back, and I was right there among them, but you just go anyway. Amen. You know, I mean, I remember the old people when I was young, they were hurting, you know, hadn't changed any. I just never thought it happened to me was the situation, you know. But, you know, I tell you what, I've been in this ministry. God's allowed me to be all these years, and I've enjoyed being a Christian. I've enjoyed preaching this gospel and seeing God work. We have some things on the table back there. I've had a ministry in Israel for 21 years, and we've ministered a large part to Arabs people. Not all Muslim, but they're Arab nationality, and there are Arab Pentecostal churches there. I mean, just like what would be here, tongue-talking Arabs, that's a thing that's strange to you. But that work, we got ministries we send every month we send to the churches there and the ministers there. We were headed to Israel here back just when that war started up. I'd preached in Houston that morning. We were flying out that afternoon, but the flight got canceled because of the war, and so we were going to Turkey first and then to Jordan, but then we changed to October. I said, by October, it's either going to be World War III or it's going to be over with, so let's just wait and see. But so we're excited, the things of God. On the table back there, I've written a book, wrote a few, and this one here is called Help is on the Way. That, you know, we're talking about help this morning. You know, when Simon Peter sank, he said, Lord, help me. I mean, God answered that prayer. And I talk about Samuel, and I talk about Saul. In this, my titles are Pursuing Donkeys and Finding Your Destiny. The Making of a Leader, Here Comes Trouble, Don't Give Up Without a Fight, Help Is on the Way, and Validated. And these are actually some preaching I put together and made a book out of, and I think, bless you. My first wife had passed away. She was an excellent singer and musician, and she recorded a couple of music CDs back when, and this first one, they're about 20 years apart in these. And these have got songs. I can tell by knowing you that this is the kind of music you like. This is anointed, Holy Ghost music here. And I'd rather have Jesus. I lean on you, Lord. midnight cry. This world is not my home. I know a man who can. Heaven knows he is here. There's still power in the blood. Blessed assurance. What a healing Jesus. And this was the first one she did that we have recorded. And my wife here, she listens to her a lot. And we listen to the car because we travel a lot. This one my wife recorded just before she passed away. She had cancer during that time. And we had a camp meeting at our church where we pastored. And a man from that had been working for Jimmy Swaggart came and asked us to come to Baton Rouge and record. And we drove to Baton Rouge. She could barely go. It was the last thing she had the strength to do. And we recorded this in the studio and live music, live singers. And the title of this one, His Life for Mine. There's such a story in that. You know, Jesus said, if you keep your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it, you'll find it. In this one, he hideth my soul. Fanny Crosby, if you know who she was, wrote this 100 years ago at least. You know what? You've never heard it this way. It's got a little bit of blues to it. So I love it, you know. And I ran upon your desert, faithful to the end. How great and how wonderful. She wrote that while she was sick. Powerful song. They asked to record that down there in Baton Rouge. I'll be all right. Who am I? Your cries awoken the master. God on the mountain. And then the last one is a lot of piano music. So if you'd like those, they're $15 a piece, and it helps us keep going and doing and sharing the gospel. And to tell you what, we've just seen a lot of things out here. I've been a pastor like Ken, and I've also traveled the world, and at the same time I had a church that would send me just about anywhere I'd want to go, and just a missions church. And so after we decided that God was through with us in the pastoral ministry, as far as we knew, they said, let's just go full-time. No denomination backs us. You may not could tell, but we're too old for any denomination to back us. But Jesus is backing us. Amen. Did you check with the board? I did. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and they said go. Amen. And so we have continued to go, and we're continuing by your grace. Thank you for your giving and your offerings for us, and we appreciate it so much, and thank you for it all. Amen. I've got me a sermon illustration here I'm going to show you in a moment. But I think about revival. You know, we used to have revivals go for a month, have revivals for weeks, and, you know, we had that. And sometimes you had to go for about 2 weeks before it ever broke through. But I thank God for a church, and a pastor still wants to set aside services, and let's just seek God. But you never waste your time doing that. And my main scripture is going to be in Habakkuk this morning. But I was thinking about here this morning of revival and the need for revival, the desire to wake us up. That's what we've talked about in this. And, ever since I've been saved, ever since I've been in the ministry, I've heard there's a great revival coming. In the end days, there's going to be this great outpouring of God's grace. I hope so. Now, I have lived to see some great moves of God. I was involved in the move of God through the former Soviet Union. I went many times to the former Soviet Union, saw thousands saved. Down in Brazil, they've been a revival of such. But people say, and I still hear it, do you believe there's going to be a worldwide revival before Jesus comes? I don't know. But I know one thing. I can't wait for it. I got to have revival in myself. I got to know how I can have revival. That I think about, you know, the need for personal revival and the prayer. Before I get to my text, I was looking over in Judges that you probably know this story about Samson. And would you stand together a moment and just pray with me? And then we'll ask the Lord to bless the service and this altar time. I believe God is going to move in these altars. Amen. I'm preaching toward this altar this morning. I believe God, if there's somebody lost, you're to save them. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to fill you, healing. If you got a problem in your life and you need help, I pray the Comforter to comfort you, the strength. My wife and I can tell you extreme grief, but we can also tell you about the Comforter and a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Father, I ask you to bless this word as we read today. Help me to minister your word to these fine people. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go to Habakkuk, but in Judges chapter 15, the Bible speaks about Samson. Samson, when I was a boy, he's my favorite one in the scriptures because he's strong. Samson was a strong physical man. The anointing come up on him. But he had weakness within his moral inside life. Strong and weak at the same time. And the Bible said here in Judges 15, verse 14, said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Philistines shouted against him, the Bible said. And the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. He broke the cords that were on his arms. The Bible said he found a new jawbone of a donkey. And I happen to have one here with me this morning. Amen. I saw this and I thought, Samson, that's Samson. And the Bible said he picked it up. He found it. He found it and he slew 1,000 of the enemy with it. 1,000. I could just see him there, that anointing. 1,000 men armed with bows, arrows, spears, and knives, and he's just continually mowing them down. The Bible said, heap upon heap upon heap. And the Spirit of God, a mighty powerful. And I thought, how? That anointing when it touches me. There's been times I was sick, times I was hurting, times I was weak, but I could step behind the sacred desk, and I felt an anointing and walk away from it. I was sick again. I felt down again. I felt grief return again. There's something about the anointing. The anointing is different. The anointing is God joining unto us. And the Bible said the Spirit of God touched him and he killed 1,000 of the enemy. Then the scripture says that he threw the jawbone to the side. Just threw it out there. But I read in the scriptures here in Judges 15, that it says, and that he, in verse 17, he came to pass when he made an end of speaking, that he cast the jawbone out of his hand. And he said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall in the hands of the uncircumcised? But God, somebody say, but God. Oh, I love that. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drank, his spirit came again, and he revived. He revived somewhere in that jawbone. Now you say, preacher, you don't understand. That was the ground. I'm just going to stick with the Bible. Amen. It says right there that the water, you think enough water could come out? He's flat of his back. He's flat of his back. He can't get up. His strength is gone. My, how the mighty have fallen. He's laying on his back. He's dying for a drink of water. And he said, shall I have this great victory and die of thirst? There was nothing there, but the Bible says that water came. The water of God's Spirit. See, and it revived him. What I'm telling you folks this morning, I can't wait for this coming revival. I must be revived personally. Somebody said it in class this morning. If you're personal with God, he'll be personal with you. Yes, he will. Not just when you come to church. I talk to him every day. I talk to him almost all the time. I talk. He's personal. He knows me. I know him. But there's times I need revival. I'm wore out. I pass out. I feel the heaviness of all that I'm going through. But I read in Habakkuk. Now in Israel they call him Habakkuk. So if you go to Israel, call him Habakkuk. But if you're in East Texas, call him Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk, minor prophet. He was crying for revival. I do want to see revival. I'm not trying to go back to the 1980s. I want him to do something now. I need him. Can you say amen? In Habakkuk 3, this is the prayer verse 1 tells us. And the man of God said, oh Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, and in thy wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Paran, Shelah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light, and he had horns coming out of his hand, and there was a hiding of his power. I have read those verses over and over. I have read them to my wife over and over. And I said, Lord, what are you saying in these verses of Scripture? And I believe he told me. I believe he spoke to me here out of this passage of Scripture that, God, I need you to work. I need you to work now. You notice what he says in this passage of Scripture. He has his prayer. He lives in a corrupt time, a violent time, a time of delay, a time of confusion. And he has godly fear. Verse number 2, revive the work. Revive it. Bring it back in the midst of years. What are you saying? I don't just need information. I need revelation. The church is full of information. We've got the YouTube. We've got the AI, whatever. But it's not just information. I have to have the Holy Spirit reveal Christ. The revelation of God. See, I could know about him, but Holy Spirit reveals him to me. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, Job said, but now I know you. I know you. I tell you what, I want to know him. I want my wife to know him. I want my children, my grandchildren. I want them to know this God. Oh, that I might know him, Paul said. That I might know him. A revelation. And he said, in the midst of the years. The midst of the years. See, folks, we got it saved. And almost all non-Pentecostal believers, churches, believe that God has a great, powerful salvation. The blood of Jesus. Transformation. And then you've got this line, which is your life. And at the end, you die, and you get another glorious event. Your soul and spirit go to heaven. The rapture happens, you go. But right in the middle, I believe God works not only in the beginning and in the end, but I believe he works now. I need him now. In the midst of the years, in the midst of where I'm at right now, I need him. And he said, in your wrath, remember mercy. That's the gospel right there. In the midst of this, God does not just work at the beginning and at the end. He's working in the midst of us right now. And this is our prayer. I pray that you'd pray it. Lord, I know you're almighty. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I look forward to eternity. But I sure got some problems right now. I need a reviving of my in my soul, in my spirit now. You know, God's at work. He saw God much bigger in verse 3. He talked about his glory. He saw his majesty. God's unstoppable. He's unstoppable. Well, I tell you what, I thank God for it. The Iron Curtain couldn't stop him. None of these things could stop him. All the dictators couldn't stop him. They're all in hell now. But this God's still on the move. He's still on the move. In the Middle East, Iran. I hope it settles down enough. I'd love to go there and preach. Go into that. Because we went into Russia in 1992, a year to the fall of the Soviet Union. I didn't find a bunch of communists. I found ex-prisoners that were saying, we need something. They wanted God. They weren't atheists, just told to be atheists. And we saw one of the greatest revivals and awakening in history. God's at work. But I want to be awakened to that. I got to stay revived. If I don't have a personal revival, I drain out. I get down. But I have to stir myself. Maybe not feeling like it, but that I do. You notice he said, verse 4, and his brightness was as light and horns out of his hand. I read that. I said, now, wait a minute. I'm going to have to get over and check some other versions and check what the Hebrew said and stuff like that. And all of this, I know it's the beams of glory, but I believe Habakkuk saw God with the horns coming out of his hand. You know why? Because horns represents power. Power. And you see, like the rhinoceros, I watch a lot of animal shows. I think the most fascinating creature to me is a rhinoceros. You got that unicorn, one horn. I've seen pictures on YouTube where small cars were irritating one in a public zoo, and he just easily picked the car up with his horn and turned it over. I mean, the power of that, the horn represents power. Habakkuk said, I saw in his hand power. I saw a horn. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples had been threatened, and they went back to their company, and they prayed, and they said, Lord, stretch forth thy hand in the name of thy holy child, Jesus, that signs and wonders be done. They were asking for that stretched out hand of power. And this is what Habakkuk prayed for. He asked for this. You see, look at verse number 4. And there was a hiding of his power. Oh, dear church. You know, sometimes I have to read them scriptures several times. I don't want to miss nothing. And then I ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying? You know what that hiding of his power means? God's never done all he can do. God has never done all. He's never exhausted his power. He's never done everything he's capable of. He created the heavens, the earth. He created the universe. But I tell you what, there's more power of God that has never been displayed. His power is limited, unlimited, the power of God. And then he speaks about, he said, the horn. He said, I see this, the hiding of your power, the hiding of your power. That, you know, this gospel is a fascinating thing, the power of it. The word of God, how that he goes forth and by his spirit and draws and opens countries up. Not limited by what's been done. God's not limited by what he has done in the past. He's able to do, how many know, exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now there's the kicker at the end. According to how much you trust him. He said he's able to do. I ask for a lot. God said, I can do a whole lot more than that. See, he's hid his power. I believe in the days unfolding and through eternity, so the millennium, all this, God will display his power greater and greater and greater. Amen. He's hid it. He's never, think about it, God's never done everything he can do. He's never displayed all the power that he can do. Amen. This is not a weak salvation. This is not a weak salvation at all. It's a great salvation. He can conquer depression, addiction, amen, and fears. It's not just getting by, but it's a great salvation. Sometimes I think I insult him because I make this gospel seem so small and so weak. But I tell you, what a mighty God that we serve. Revive me to see you, O God. Jesus took the word, and it's aggressive word. This salvation is aggressive. He didn't just save me in a corner somewhere. It's an aggressive thing. It's a moving. It's captivating. People that never thought about getting saved, the Holy Spirit get a hold of them. They couldn't believe it. The conviction of God's Spirit. God can go where you can't go, and you speak to them. The power of that moving of his power and spirit. Amen. Jesus took the word into the devil, and he said, it's written. It is written. You know, think about horns. Horns that I read in Psalms 118, verse 27. I don't know. So let me ask some of the old people here. Have you ever heard the term, hold on to the horns of the altar? Amen. At least you can say, amen. The horns of the altar, that was in the Old Testament. That's where the sacrifice was put and stayed. And we used to say, Ken and I, our old church, they'd say, let's hang on to the horns of the altar. We're going to believe God. Well, I prayed, nothing happened. Well, I'm going to pray again. Amen. The horns of the altar that I stood. And this is what this man of God was saying. That's revival. that anointing that destroys the yoke of the enemy, the power of it in his blood. I want to see God do. I want to see God work in people's lives. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they missed their time. He's saying, what is yours and you're missing it. It breaks my heart that Christians don't realize what God has provided for them. More than just a little get to heaven someday. I mean, it's not always just shouting. There's days you cry, some days you laugh. But there's that strength of God that we're different. The power of God. He said, always be ready for the question, why do you believe? I remember my first wife, we were young, she worked at a lumber yard where we lived in the bookkeeping office. And people would come in to pay their bill. This is back when Mr. Carter was president. And it was bad. Economy, everything's so bad. And then men come in to pay their bill, and they stand around there, and they start talking. She said one day, they said, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going out of business. This thing is bad. I don't know then. And so my wife said, I think God's going to do something, going to work out. They said, what? They didn't want to hear that. They wanted you to join in. And the other woman that's worked there said, oh, she's one of them. How many's one of them? Amen. I'm one of them. Oh, that religion, not religion, faith and knowing. God brought us through. Has it ever been this bad before? It's been worse. But I tell you, God's on the throne to see what he's going to do. Amen. To be able to tell what God has done for you that I don't know. The Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. I had to remind myself that. But I need you, God, to revive me today. I'm overloaded. I'm hurting. I'm discouraged. I don't know. You go in churches, some are revived and some are not, and some won't revival and some don't. They want the result of revival, but not what it costs to have revival. Everybody wished we was in revival. And I'm thinking, I can't wait around to find some magic thing thrown on me and everything. I've got to just say, God, I got to get close to you. Because I find myself getting dull, praying the same recorded prayer over and over. Amen. And looking at my cell phone, what time it is. How long have I prayed? I did what I'd wished and prayed. I get to a spot that I just wait until I hear something. Amen. That he can talk to me. You know, he's such a real God. I've lived a long time. Not as long as some people have, but anyway, I've seen God answer prayer, God open doors and do different things, provide and miracles, all of this. Even though I've seen that, I still will doubt. I still have times that I say, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. Well, how we say that? We don't just say, I don't know what we're going to do. Say, I don't know what we're going to do. Here's Habakkuk. Things are bad. The enemy has surrounded them. What are we going to do? I look at what he says here, and he speaks about this, and he talks about, look at chapter 2 of Habakkuk. Habakkuk here, he says in chapter 2, he said, the just, he said, let me get my verse here. He says in verse number 2 of this chapter, chapter 2 and verse number 4, the man of God said, he says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And I read that. And I said, okay. He said, do you do that? I live by faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in his word. Amen. It's so confused today. People say, did God really say that? I got 45 versions over here. Let me check and see when they change it up a little bit. But I tell you what, I don't believe he said it. Amen. I believe I can trust him. I believe I can trust his word. But I tell you what, I feel the weakness. You know, humans are weak. I said last night, if you was here, I said, God is not mad at you for being human. He didn't expect you to be God. He said, I'm that. Everybody in this Bible that even loved him the most, they had weaknesses. They had tiredness. They had despair. He had to call one man under a tree wanting to die. I want to die, God. And that man just got through calling fire out of heaven, burning up the sacrifice, killing the prophets. God fed him with a raven and then a widow, and he says, God, I want to die. God didn't say, now, son, I'm through with you, stupid. But he gave him bread and water, gave him sleep. Then he took off and run like a jackrabbit and ran for 40 days. Right into a cave. Man, I think I've been in that cave where he was at. Hard to get you out of that cave. What are you doing in there? He said, I'm the only one preaching holiness in this whole convention. And he said, I got 7,000 at about a knee. I hadn't seen them. So it don't matter if I've seen them or not. He said, I've got work for you to do. You know, I told you last night, our famous fathers and mother, Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Sarah, they lied. Man, I tell you what, I was teaching the book of Noah one time. I made it so real. I got to the end of it, and I said, Noah got drunk, and the woman in the church started crying. I can't believe he'd do such a thing. That's the Bible. But they're real people. They're in there for purpose. And I look at this. We live by faith. See, he's God. He knows us. He doesn't condone sin, but he knows our weaknesses, our upgoing, our down. Sometimes we feel, God, I'm so not worthy. But we're worthy through the blood. I've got this fear and doubt and I'm dealing with. The greatest people in the Bible did. But they brought it to him and he lifted him up. David said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. So I just look at this and I read it and I say, God, how could it be? You know, then I read myself. You know what I do many times? I try to find myself in the Word. I can go to churches and I can talk to people I don't know. If I talk to them very long at all, I can find them in the Bible. We were in Brazil preaching one of the times, and there was a woman there that they were telling me about, and they said that she had opened her house because they didn't have a church in the community. She wasn't a saved woman. She opened her house up for them to have church. She had a big living room. And so we went over to her house, and she's excited to see a North American. And I said, did you know there's somebody in the Bible like you? She said, there is. I said, Lydia. I said, you're Lydia. And she said, I am. And I told her about the story of Lydia in the book of Acts opening up and how that God opened their hearts. Nobody's ever read that. Some of the hardest, impossible people I know, God can open their hearts. And our Lydia in South America got saved. Amen. She didn't even want to get paid. But I thought, how that God works. And, you know, this Bible is so true to life. And I love his word. But I go back up to Habakkuk chapter 3. They're finishing up here. Habakkuk saying, God, revive. Revive your hand, your work. I don't need to wait till I die. I need you now. Do what you did then. Do it now. Heaven's ever prayed that? I have. I need you now. Oh, that rapture sounds exciting. I love it. I love to fly. I skydive. This way I just go back up the other way. Amen. But I'm thinking, I need you now. I got prayers I'm praying. I got family I want you to help. Amen. I got situations I want you to help. I need you now. I need you, God. You know what? I believe he's a God of right now. I believe he's a right now God. How many believe he's an on time God? Say amen if you do. So Habakkuk said, you know, everything looks bad. But he said, I'm going to tell you what, verse 17, although. Did you know we're although people? Did you hear the news last night? Did you hear? I didn't last night, but I've heard it. Verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall, no money coming in, don't know how it's going to work out, what are we going to do? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Boy, that's when it counts. Not when you got the good check. yet I will rejoice. The Lord God is my strength. I look at this and I say, Lord God, I'm weak. He said, yet I'm strong. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. See, he not always removes the mountain, but he equips you to walk over the mountain. Hallelujah. I've had him move mountains of problems, but there have been times, hinds' feet, you know, that's that deer, kind of like the mountain goats. They can go up, climb up that wall right there. They're on sheer, just very little room there. And he said he makes my feet like hinds' feet. Amen. He gives me the power. You know, place becomes, my life becomes a place where God can work. Revival. Oh, I pray for it. I've come from Pentecostal depth and believing of God, Trinitarian Pentecostals. And we've seen God work. But I say, God, I want to see not just something you did before he could take a job on. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible it's written that a man could pick up a jawbone and kill 1,000 of the enemy with it. It didn't say that, but it happened because the Spirit of God was working exactly that time. The Bible never says if a woman has an issue of blood, if she can get through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, she'll be healed. It didn't say that. But God, he speaks personally. And this woman said in her heart, if, see, it's what you say to yourself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. I mean, she's been bleeding condition 12 years, spent all of her money on doctors and got worse. But she knew. How'd she know? Not information and revelation. God revealed it to her. And she got down. See, Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher. According to the law, a woman with the bleeding condition is not to touch him, but he allowed her. She's crawling through the crowd. Don't you know Jesus knows she's there? Crowd thronged him. And she touched him. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And Peter said, who touched you? They're crowded. They're pulling on you from everywhere. No, I don't mean that kind of touch. He said, virtue has gone out. Oh, the touch of the Master. And she come trembling. She'd broken the law of Moses, that she's healed. Because one greater than Moses has come. Not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And she is healed. Oh, I tell you what a story. But there's times in my life, I said, well, how does that work? God's never showed all this power yet. He may decide just to use something like this. He may just decide. You know, you find that out there in the pasture. What good is that? I took this. I didn't figure he needed it anymore. And so I thought, this is what God can do. Dead. It was a new, you know, it hadn't been dead a whole long time, but it's dead. But when the anointing comes, Moses, what do you got? Nothing. Got a stick. He said, give me that stick. And he opened the Red Sea, conquered Egypt. How many believe he's a mighty God? Mighty God, revive us. Revive us. I can't wait. If I go to prayer meetings, nobody's there, I got to pray. You got one of the most praying pastors I know. He prays every day. I come up here, he's already here praying, and he prays for me. You know, I've had people through the years that prayed for me, and I sure did hate it when I lost them. I had a man that was a total drunkard, come to church one time, got saved, filled the Holy Ghost, become a right-hand man. He couldn't preach, he couldn't sing, but my, he could call heaven down. Our friend Don Brinkle, preached with Brother Brinkle many times. He got in the home over here in Arkansas, and he called me Doc. He said, Doc, I've already called your name in prayer. You know, I hated him when Brother Brinkle died. He was the last of a breed of great people. But I looked and I thought, he's not there no more. And I thank God that other people are praying. One time I did a funeral. I did a lot of funerals. I did a funeral for a lady in the church when I first came 45 years ago, something like that. And she was a very godly woman. I was very impressed with her. She had a large family, a lot of children. And she died with a heart attack. And I came, did her funeral, and crowd, man, the place is packed. And one of her youngest daughters come by and broke down at the casket. She wasn't living for God. And she started crying. Mama! Who's going to pray for me now? And I walked to her and I said, Mama can't pray. You've got to learn to pray for yourself. She never did. Learned to that degree. But I believe those mama's prayers made a difference for her. But I tell you what, I can't just depend on somebody else praying. Lord, I got to touch you. God, Holy Spirit, move inside my life that would cause me to want this. I want the touch of God more than I want anything in the world. The touch of God. And you know, if you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. How many would like to have revival in your own life? A revival inside your heart. Amen. And it spread. It spread. Spread across this church, across this area. This is just a good church. There's no reason it shouldn't start right here at Move. And people come by and say, what's happening there? Well, you remember the days in De Leon, people, some of the churches call us because they didn't believe in miracles and we did. Bring their sick over to us, that church didn't believe it. I want us to be that again. Y'all are different. We are different. We want to be different in a good way of the Spirit of God. I need revival, and I need it now.